Now Allah gives us a warning. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We shall definitely test you. Now all of us are being addressed. Not that some of you will be tested and some of you won't. We shall definitely test all of you with something of fear, something of hunger, loss of wealth and fruits or children. In other words, these are trials through which we all have to go through. Muslim or kafir, hypocrite or mu'min. We all have to pass through these. Nobody amongst us can get up and say, no, I've never been afraid in my life and I've never had any problems in my life. What then do we have to do? وَبَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ. We all have to pass through these tough times, but give good news to the sabirin. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. When any problem afflicts them. Now musiba can mean a small problem or a big problem. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ is the greatest reality there is. If someone I love dies, it's because he belonged to Allah. And when I say inna lillahi, I'm reminding myself that I too belong to Allah. I'm not going to stay here forever. Inna ilayhi rajiun, I have to go back to him. I will have to answer for what my response was when Allah afflicted me with this problem. I'd like to tell a true story at this point. Acquaintances of ours were traveling on the motorway last year. And there was this lady, she was traveling with her husband and three children, one daughter and two sons. They had a terrible accident. The daughter died on the spot. And one of the sons went into a coma. And the doctor said it's impossible that he should survive. Now only one child was left to her. And she rang up her father from the hospital because obviously they'd been rushed there instantly. And she was hysterical. She said, this is what's happened. That my daughter's died. What should I do? What should I say? And he said to her, say, shukar alhamdulillah. And she said it. She took a deep breath and she said it. What happened to her? Allah tells us, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. These are those on whom there will be blessings from their Lord and mercy. She says, it was amazing the strength, the serenity that flowed into me when I said it. And people were astounded that this mother who had lost one child, on the verge of losing the second child, all she was doing was sitting by the bedside of that child who was in a coma and reading the Quran constantly. And alhamdulillah, he came out of the coma. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Such are the guided ones. It's easy to talk when we're not going through any problems. This is the true test of Iman. Allah goes on to say, indeed, As-Safa and Al-Marwa are of the symbols of Allah. Those who have been for Umrah and Hajj will know the two hills that are over there, during which we perform Sa'i. Why does Allah mention them over here right after the talk about Sabr? Allah is honoring a woman's Sabr. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife Hajra, and she was running from Safa to Marwa, seeking water for her child. She did sabr. She didn't start complaining or lamenting to Allah, saying, I'm a prophet's wife and this is what's happened to me and I'm angry with Allah. She did sabr. She got up and did something. She channelized that pain into something positive. So Allah honored her. Until the end of time, as long as they are Muslims, they will be performing that sa'i between Safa and Marwa to honor her sacrifice. So it is not a sin on him who performs Hajj or Umrah of the house to perform the going between them. And whoever does good voluntarily, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed Allah is all appreciative, all knowing. See how Allah reminds us? She could never have thought at that time that this ritual that she was doing would be done by so many countless people long after she was gone. Allah says, you do something for my sake and I will honor it. I will appreciate it. Indeed, those who conceal the clear proofs and the guidance which we have sent down, after we have made it clear for the people in the book, they are the ones cursed by Allah and cursed by those who curse. After reading that we are the chosen ummah, if we still sit back and say, well, you know, I know what's in the Quran. Like you tell people to come and hear the Quran, they go, I know everything in the Quran, I've been through it. If they've been through it, why aren't they conveying? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is asked about something which he knows and he hides it deliberately, on the day of judgment he will be made to wear a muzzle of fire. Look at the outcome for those who know but they're not conveying. Allah says they are cursed by Allah and by those who curse. Except those who repent, there's still time to repent. And do good deeds and openly declare, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Such I will accept their repentance. وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. There's still time to turn to Allah. People who say, oh, it's too late, too much water has passed under the bridge. I've done so many sins. How can I learn about Allah now? How can I start conveying Islam now? Allah says, I will forgive you. I am the only one who accepts repentance, the only one who is so merciful. Indeed, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, it is they on whom is the curse of Allah and of the angels and of mankind combined. They will live therein. Their punishment will neither be lightened nor will they be reprieved. Wa ilahukum ilahin wahid. And your God is one God. La ilaha illahu. There is no God but He. None is worthy of being obeyed but He. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He alone is the most forgiving, the repeatedly merciful. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, and the ships which sail through the sea, with that which is of use to mankind, and the rain which Allah sends down from the sky, and makes the earth alive therewith after its death, and the moving creatures of all kinds that He has scattered therein. لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. In all of these are signs for people of understanding. Right after mentioning Allah's oneness, Allah tells us the signs in the universe. Signs in the universe He has created, so we arrive at this understanding that how could everything in this universe be working in such perfect harmony were it not for the fact that there is one Creator, one being alone who is in charge. If you look at this ayat, it's an invitation to the Muslims to explore all fields of knowledge. Astronomy, geology, even technology. Allah mentions the ships which sail through the sea. The mu'min is not one who's sitting on a prayer mat all day long and doesn't know what's going on around him. The mu'min is one who is exploring the universe to become closer to Allah. Remember yesterday we read in the story of Adam alayhi salam, what was the first knowledge granted to Adam alayhi salam? Worldly knowledge, the secrets of the universe. Allah says, in all of these are signs for people who use their brains. Islam is not the name of blind faith, it's the name of intelligent faith. An iman that is enriched by observation, that is enriched by studying the creations of Allah. Despite all this, of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah's rivals. Allah says, after all these things that I created for them, still they turn to others for help. They turn to others for obedience. They turn to others to please them. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them as they should love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe are most intense, are most passionate in Allah's love. Now let's just think about our love for Allah. Do we really love Allah? We all claim, oh, Allah knows how much I love Him. At best, it would be a sort of tepid affection that we have for Allah. We love Him when we need Him. We don't realize we need Him every minute of the day. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah tells us, you are all beggars before me. Allah says, those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah. When you really love someone, you're thinking about them constantly. You want to do only that which pleases them. You couldn't even tolerate the thought of doing something or thinking something which would be displeasing to that person. We can all analyze ourselves. If only those who do wrong could see when they will see the torment, that all power belongs to Allah and that Allah is severe in punishment. When those who were followed declare themselves innocent of those who followed them. How ironical. In this world, we displease Allah because we're trying to please our friends, we're trying to please our husbands, we're trying to please our parents, our neighbors, our guests. Everyone but Allah. Allah comes last on the list. When I'm old, I'll go for Hajj and Allah will forgive me. Allah says, when those who were followed will declare themselves innocent of those who followed them. How do we feel if someone we love betrays us in this world? If a friend of ours says, I'm sorry, I can't help you in this time of need, even though you helped me when I needed you. How do we feel? Betrayal, anger, anguish, and regret. If only I could have one more chance, I would never go near her again. Allah gives us a scene from the future. When those who were followed will disown those who followed them. When the followers will run to the leaders and saying, we followed you, we tried to please you and we ended up angering Allah, now help us. And they see the torment, then all their relations will be cut off from them. People say in this world, oh, do this for me and I'll tell Allah. Tell this lie for my sake, please, just for my sake. And you think, well, I'm not telling it for my own sake, I'm doing it for my friend. Allah says, if only you knew that on that day, how bitterly you will regret it. And those who followed will say, if only we had one more chance to return, we would disown them as they have disowned us. Thus Allah will show them their deeds as regrets for them. Will they get that one more chance? Never. And they will never get out of the fire. Ya Yuhannas, O mankind, eat of that which is lawful and pure on the earth, and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan. Indeed he is to you an open enemy. Shaitan commands you only what is evil and sinful, and that you should say against Allah what you know not. When we speak about Allah without having any clue of what's in the Quran or the Sunnah, people who say, well, I think that, you know, I don't believe that Allah is going to ask me about every little thing, and I think Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah says this is Shaitan's waswasa. Shaitan is constantly tempting you to make comments about Allah which you have no proof. When it is said to them, follow what Allah has sent down, they say, no, we shall follow what we found our fathers following. The common cry, our people have always done it. This is something that's always been done in our family. How can we break away from tradition? Would they do that even though their fathers did not understand anything, nor were they guided? See how incredulously Allah asks, as if he can't believe that people can be so stupid. And the example of those who disbelieve is as that of him who shouts to those flock of sheep that he has nothing but calls and cries, deaf, dumb and blind. They hear the Quran, but they can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to them. They can see the truth, they can see the Mu'mineen, but they think the Mu'mineen are crazy fanatics. Their hearts are sealed from understanding the truth. فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ They're not using their brains. People who pride themselves on their sophistication, who love to call Islam backward and primitive, should read this ayat. Allah saying, actually, they're not using their brains. They're the stupid ones. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, eat of the lawful things that we have provided you. Islam is a positive religion. It's we who've made it into a religion of don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. Allah is saying, eat of the lawful things that we have given you. Use the blessings of Allah. Dunya is not forbidden. And be grateful to Allah. Washkuru lillah. While you're using those blessings, don't forget who's given them to you. If indeed it is Him whom you worship. He has forbidden you only the dead animals, that those animals which have not been sacrificed, and blood, and the flesh of swine, and that which is slaughtered as a sacrifice for others than Allah. When people give sacrifices in the names of peers, or in the names of certain buzzards, or when people, you know, like in the West, they don't mention anyone's name over the animals that they're sacrificing. All this food is haram. But if one is forced by necessity, without willful disobedience, no transgressing, due limits, then there is no sin on him. This is the tolerance of Islam, the flexibility of Islam, that if you're in a situation where you have no other options, the only other choice is starvation, then you can eat, but Allah says, be conscious of your inner self. You shouldn't be delighted that you're finally getting to taste ham. You should be conscious and you should be praying to Allah to forgive you. You can eat haram if you have no other options, but only as much as is strictly required. And then you will find, Inna Allah ghafoorur raheem. Indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful, when you have no other options. Indeed those who conceal what Allah has sent down of the book, and purchase a small gain therewith, they eat into their bellies nothing but fire. Allah will not speak to them on the day of judgment. When people distort Islam, when they sell fatwas, what is the punishment that lies in store for them? Allah will not even speak to them on the day of judgment, nor purify them, and theirs will be a painful torment. Those are they who have purchased error at the price of guidance, and torment at the price of forgiveness. So how bold they are for the fire. Allah says, don't they ever stop and think what they're doing? That they're exchanging this, you know, 60 odd years of bliss for an eternity of torture? That is because Allah has sent down the book in truth. And indeed those who dispute as regarding the book are far away in opposition. They're just too busy bickering about it. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَمْ تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرَقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ Piety is not that you turn your faces towards east and west. It's not just rituals. Like some people are so obsessed with salat and they're so obsessed with rituals, yet they're the most harsh of people. They're the most cruel when it comes to hurting their friends or their relatives. Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ Allah enriches our understanding of deen. It's not just salat and fasting and going for umrah once every year and you can do whatever you like the rest of the time. It's much more than that. Where does it start? It starts with iman. Iman in what? بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. إيمان in Allah, إيمان in the last day, إيمان in all the angels, إيمان in all the books, the Quran included, and إيمان in all the prophets. That is Iman. This is a comprehensive definition of Iman. Is that where it ends? People who say, Allah knows my heart is pure? No, it's more than that. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ He gives his wealth for love of Allah. Not so his picture appears in the newspapers, for love of Allah. Whom does he give it to? ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ To the relatives. We learn from a hadith that when you give to a relative, you get double the reward. One reward is for sadaqah and one reward is for doing sila rahmi. وَالْيَتَامَىٰ And the orphans. Who are the orphans? Those who have lost one parent before reaching the age of puberty. See how Allah teaches the mu'min to be sensitive to his surroundings, to be sensitive to the plight of those who live around him, whom he meets every day. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ And the needy. Now again, the needy aren't the starving, they're not the destitute. They're those people who have money, but not enough to make both ends meet. They'll be too proud to ask you. So Allah is saying, O mu'mineen, keep your eyes open. Be sensitive to those who live around you. Don't just assume that everyone has whatever they need. You should find out for yourself, so you can help them if they need it. وَبْنَ السَّبِيلِ And the traveler. Why is the traveler mentioned here? Maybe someone's in a foreign land. He's lost his money. He's going through problems. Help him out. Don't just think, well, why should I help this stranger? وَالسَّائِلِينَ And those who ask. وَفِ الرِّقَابِ And to set slaves free. All of these are people who are deserving of having our wealth spent upon them. Commonly people ask, well, whom should we spend on? These are the people that we should be spending on. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ And he established a salah. Again, we find two extremes. People who are so busy doing social work, they say, Allah doesn't need our prayers, you know, and it's more important that we spend that time, you know, giving to the poor or helping them out or running that medical clinic for poor patients. Allah says, you have to do both. Fulfill people's rights and Allah's right. And really, if you think about it, salat is our own right. Allah doesn't need that prayer. We need that prayer so we can stand before Him on the Day of Judgment saying, Yes, Allah, we did pray all our prayers. Aqama salah. Wa ata zakat and He gives zakat. Now, the fact that zakat is mentioned here proves that the spending that's already been mentioned is sadaqah. Like some people think if they give zakat once a year, that's enough and they don't need to give any sadaqah. And some people say, well, I don't know exactly how much I have to give for zakat, so I keep on giving and that should cover the whole amount. That's not good enough because zakat is like a debt we owe Allah. And we can't just casually assume that our jewelry will be covered by all the little amounts of sadqat that we're giving out. We should all of us have our jewelry or whatever it is we own priced and have the zakat estimated every year so we can give the right amount. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا Those who fulfill their commitments when they make them. See how comprehensive this definition of goodness is. It encompasses human rights, it encompasses Allah's right, it encompasses rituals, it encompasses human interactions. And now Allah says, and you should be people that others can trust. You should be people of integrity. And Muslims nowadays are famed for their treachery, famed for the fact that they never keep their promises. Allah says, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ Fulfill your commitments when you make them, whether to Allah or to people. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ And those who are patient, again the same word, sabr, in extreme poverty and disease. وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ And at the time of fighting, you keep up all these good deeds. Don't only do them when things are going fine for you and when things start going badly for you, say, oh, I'm angry with Allah, I'm not going to do it. What good were all my sadaqahs? What good were all my prayers? That's not sabr. Sabr is constancy. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا Such people are the ones who have spoken the truth. What truth is this? La ilaha illallah. Such people are those who have been truthful in that fact that they affirmed. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ Such people are the Allah conscious ones. We want to analyze our level of taqwa. We can just analyze how far we do all these actions. Now Allah goes on to state some social laws. O you who believe, the law of equality in punishment is prescribed for you in case of murder. The free for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. In other words, if it's a free man who's committed the murder, it's his life that will be taken. And if a woman has committed the murder, then she will be killed. But if the dinar is forgiven by the brother or the relatives, etc., of the murdered against blood money, then adhering to it with fairness and payment of the blood money to the heir should be made in fairness. This is an alleviation and a mercy from your Lord. So after this, whoever transgresses the limits, that is, kills the killer after taking the blood money, he shall have a painful torment. A few words on the law of Qisas here. People commonly condemn this, oh, Islam is so barbaric, how can you take a man's life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really tells us that there is life for you in this law, O men of understanding, that you may become Allah conscious. If we look at the countries where this law is implemented and you compare the murder rate to a country where the killer is generally let off, or even if he's not let off, he's admitted into a luxurious jail where he has every creature comfort, what's the difference? We find that the murder rate is much, much less in the Islamic states where this law is implemented. Because obviously when someone knows that if I commit a murder, chances are I can be killed in return, he'll think twice before doing that murder. And Allah says in some situations where maybe the victim's heirs, they're small or they're needy and they need the money, then they are allowed to take the money. The point that comes out is that the criminal is being made to pay for his crime. He's being made to suffer for his crime, not that he gets away with whatever he wants to do. Allah goes on to say, it is prescribed for you when death approaches any of you, if he leaves well, that he makes a bequest to parents and next of kin according to reasonable usage. This is a duty upon the Allah conscious. Then whoever changes the bequest after hearing it, the sin shall be on those who make the change. Truly Allah is all hearer, all knower. But he who fears from a testator some unjust act or wrongdoing and thereupon he makes peace between the parties concerned, there shall be no sin on him. Indeed, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Now, we'll find, inshallah, that the ayat of inheritance will follow later on in Surah An-Nisa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. The discourse turns to fasting. O you who have iman, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been prescribed for you. Kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum. As it was prescribed on those before you. La'allakum tattaqoon. In order that you become Allah conscious. This then is the purpose of fasting. Not at the end of Ramzan that we think, how many Qurans did I read? Or how many iftaris was I invited to? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you become Allah conscious. So in this month of Ramzan, we have to focus on our spiritual nurturing, on our spiritual bettering. Fast for a fixed number of days. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can fast with difficulty, you know, someone's old or someone's sick, they have a choice to feed a poor person. In other words, they don't have to fast then, they can feed a poor person. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him. And that you fast is better for you, if only you know. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Why is this month so special? The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. You know, we always remember our parents' wedding anniversaries or our parents' birthdays or our own wedding anniversaries. Allah says celebrate this month because it's the birthday of the Quran. And what's so special about the Quran? Hudal linnas, guidance for mankind. Once you discover the treasure that is in this Quran, you can never leave it. Once you discover the strength you can get from this book, you don't want to put it down for 1 minute. A guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. You read the Quran and you know what to do and what not to do. So whoever of you cites the month of Ramadan, he must observe fast that month. And whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number must be made up from other days. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَى. Allah intends for you ease and He does not want to make things difficult for you. You must complete the same number of days and you must magnify Allah for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him. We have to complete the fast that we have missed in previous Ramazans. And the reason for that is, Allah says, so that your guilt is alleviated. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my slaves ask you about me, tell them I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. I answer the call of the one who calls when he calls me. This ayat is very beautiful and it's very important to understand. It explains the concept of dua. Sometimes we hear people say, I prayed to Allah so much, but I just don't see my dua being accepted. I prayed and I read namaz and I read the hajjot and I went for umrah and I went for hajj. But despite all that, I don't think my dua is being accepted. Where is Allah? Why doesn't He listen to me? I've been calling him for so many years. Allah reassures us, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When my slaves ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am near. I'm listening to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي. I do answer the call of the one who calls. إِذَا دَعَانِي. When he calls me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that a person's dua is answered as long as he does not pray for any sin, that he doesn't pray for something wrong, or he does not pray for the breaking of any relationship, and as long as he does not do istijal. So he was asked, what does istijal mean? And he said that a person should say, qad da'utu wa qad da'utu. I have prayed and I have prayed, but I don't see my dua being accepted. And he should tire of that and leave the dua. And this is what commonly happens. People say, I've been praying for so many years and I'm sick of it and I'm going to give it up now. Allah says, no, I do answer the dua. And Allah knows which time is the best for having that dua accepted. What do we have to do in return? This is very interesting, isn't it? Because we don't think of that. When we're making the dua to Allah, we want Him to answer the dua right now. But Allah says, no, it's not as simple as that. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. They should also obey me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. They should also believe in me. They should trust in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشِدُونَ. In order that they may be guided. We make a dua and then we complain, why doesn't Allah listen to our dua? Have we ever thought about it? Maybe there's something we're doing that Allah doesn't like. Maybe there are many things that we're doing which Allah doesn't like. Allah says, you should listen to me. You should then trust in me. يُؤْمِنُوا بِي means that after doing whatever you can, you trust in Allah that my Allah will answer this dua at the right time for me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. In order that they might be guided. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ رَفَثُوا إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ. It is made lawful for you to have marital relations with your wives on the night of the fast. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ. They are a garment for you. وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. And you are a garment for them. This is such a beautiful ayat. Allah describes the relationship between a husband and his wife as that of mutual protection and adornment. See, when we wear our clothes, they achieve two things, don't they? They adorn us and they protect us. So in the same way, a husband and his wife are supposed to adorn each other. They're supposed to make each other happy, and they're supposed to be loyal to each other. They should be covering up for the other person's faults, not exposing them or taunting them publicly, like some husbands like to jeer at their wives in public. And some wives like to make fun of their husbands in public. Allah says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ. You're supposed to be complimenting one another. You're supposed to be supporting one another, not exposing each other. Allah knows that you used to deceive yourself, so He turned to you and forgave you. So now have marital relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you and eat and drink until the white thread of dawn appears to you distinct from the black thread of night. See, this is the positive nature of Islam, that even something like marital relations are deemed an act of ibadah. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling the companions that, you know, even when you have marital relations with your wives, you get reward for that. And they said, do we get reward for that? And he said, have you not thought about it? If you were to do it in a haram way, you would be punished for that. So if you do it lawfully, then Allah will reward you for that. And that is the positive nature of Islam. Then complete your fast till the nightfall. And do not have marital relations with them while you are in i'tikaf. That is, you have confined yourself in the mosques. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits set by Allah. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. So don't even come near them. In this 1 month of Ramadan, during the fast, when a husband and his wife are not supposed to have marital relationships, Allah says, don't treat it lightly. Observe these laws. Thus does Allah make clear His signs to mankind, in order that they may become Allah conscious. And do not eat up one another's property unjustly, you know, by stealing or robbing or deceiving or blackmailing someone, nor give bribery to the rulers, that you may knowingly eat a part of the property of others sinfully. If we go to our courts today, we can all see the situation where so many false oaths are taken, so many false promises are taken. Why? Because people want to usurp others' rights. Allah says, this is haram.